since my eyes were fixed on Jesus. Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? I've lost sight of all beside. Is that so? I think we're going to see this morning, in our lesson this morning, that's not always so. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll begin reading with verse 22, read down through verse 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. He constrained them to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain again apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." The title of our message this morning is "A Strife of Reason and Faith." Ask you the question this morning: do you have faith? Do you have faith? Does your reasoning ever overcome your faith? Do you ever give way to human reason over faith? The account of things contained in these verses is one of particular interest. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. You'll hear the religious world refer to it often. The wonders here recorded bring out like a bright shining light the character both of Christ and His people. The power and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mixture of faith and unbelief in His people are made evident, are made clear to our understanding in this passage of Scripture. There are at least four things that we learn from this passage of Scripture. The first we want to look at is the absolute dominion of the Creator. They, the apostles and disciples and part of the multitude had just witnessed His ability to make an exceeding abundant supply out of little. In the feeding of the 5,000. But as the book of Mark tells us in accounting this account of we would say Jesus walking on the water, they didn't take into account the feeding of the 5,000 plus. They forgot all about that when this instance came upon them. But we notice under this His dominion over the sea. He walked on the sea. The winds and the waves had no effect upon Him. It doesn't say that he calmed the sea and then walked on it. The winds are blowing and the waves are boisterous, and Jesus walks on the sea. He walked on the water in the midst of the wind and the waves. It was as though we would say, well, yeah, there's something under there. There's got to be something there that we can't see that He's walking on.
It's like He's walking on a rock. He is the rock.
The winds and the waves were not stilled until He and Peter entered the ship. We read that in verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased and the waves calmed. Not before that. While Peter and Jesus were in the sea, the winds still blew and the waves were boisterous.
In another account, Jesus was in the ship already, and the winds and the waves were boisterous, and He simply spoke the words, "Peace be still."
Brings to mind the song that's out there, "Sometimes He calms the storm," as He did in the first example, "and sometimes He calms me."
which we're going to find in this account. You see, this storm raged on. To us, our weak and feeble minds, it's incomprehensible. It's not possible. That one should walk on the water. You ever cry when you're sailing, brother? Stepping out of the ship and into the water? What happens? You sink like a rock, don't you? Right to the bottom. But He's the Creator. He's the Creator. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we go on to read that the earth was without form and without void. And the waters were a great deep. Water covered the whole earth. Water above the earth and water in the earth. It tells us that He created a firmament above the earth, and the waters above the earth congealed in that firmament. And then it tells us that He separated the waters from the land. And the land He called earth, and the waters He called seas.
That was on the third day. The same day that He separated the waters from the land and we had seas and earth, He created vegetation. The lost vegetation. That was the third day. He's the Creator.
We're told in the book of John chapter 1 and in verse 3 that He created everything. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him.
And there was not anything made that was not made by Him.
Listen. This is an encouragement. This ought to be an encouragement to you. It ought to be an encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to know that He's the Creator. There's nothing created that is not under His control. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, all things were created by Him and for Him. And verse 17 says, and by Him all things consist. That is, they're all held together. That is, they're all under His control.
We may be tossed to and fro for a season.
In fact, we'll probably wish that He would act sooner rather than later.
Ever been there? We know He's in control. Okay, now Lord, just take this away right now. That's the way we want it to work, isn't it? Well, as we said, sometimes He calms the sea. And sometimes He calms me in the midst of the storm. Let us not forget the storm is under His control.
They serve Him. They're at His bidding. They do His bidding.
He sends them where He wills.
They cannot move without His permission.
His word says that
He's in the whirlwind. He steers it whithersoever he will. In the hurricanes, in the tornadoes, they go where he stirs them. I'm glad he stirred them away from us this year. But you know something? He didn't stir them away from everybody. And he could have. He could have just taken them out there in the sea. I've seen many of them just go out there in the seas and just wander and die out there in the sea. He could have. He sits on the throne on high. He's the mighty one. What is it that Psalms 93 and verse 4 says? The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The Lord on high. And he's mightier than they're all under his control. Look at Jonah, chapter 2, verse 3, and notice what Jonah said. Jonah said, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." They were his seas. They were his billows. That he sat to encompass Jonah. Remember, they're his boisterous waves. Be patient. Be calm. He'll come walking to you on the sea. He'll come walking to you in the midst of the storm. Isn't that a comfort? You ever experienced Jesus coming to you in the midst of your storm? Whatever the storm is? And how he just calms you? A peaceful calm comes over you? Secondly, let us learn the power that is bestowed upon those that believe. His power is upon those that believe. Peter believed. He had to believe. He trusted the Lord. He walked out of the safety of that ship. And he stepped onto those boisterous sea, that boisterous sea, those waves were boisterous. And he walked out of the safety of the ship and stepped into the sea and walked. He believed. He walked on the water just as Christ was doing. What a display of the divinity of Christ. Walking on the water himself was a mighty wonder. I mean, the apostles, Peter and Cook, at first was, it's a spirit. You understand. Spirit was the spirit of the dead. We would say, we saw a ghost. We saw a ghost walking on the water. That's what we would say today. But ghost didn't mean that in the days that this was written. Ghost meant you gave up the ghost. You were dead. And they feared spirits. We call them ghosts. Today. Jesus walked on the water. That was a mighty feat. That was a mighty wonder. It proved his divinity. It proved him to be the master. The creator.
but to enable a poor, weak sinner to do the same. What a mighty work that was. I mean, he could do it because he was God.
But he can call you to do the same. He can call you to do the same. Look what he did for Peter.
Witness here what a great thing the Lord will do for them that hear his voice and follow him. Jesus said in the book of John, in chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Don't tell me you've heard the voice of Jesus. Don't tell me you love Jesus, that you're a believer now, and don't do the things that he says do. Jesus said, "They hear my voice, and they follow me." By faith, they do or have done for them the impossible. By faith. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Yes, we know this chapter as the chapter of the heroes of faith. Well, we're going to just read about four verses here, beginning with verse 32 of the 11th chapter. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of wickedness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." Listen, they were men of faith. The mighty power of God worked through them because of their faith, because of their faithfulness to exercise the faith which God had given them. And God, because of that, wrought great miracles, great wonders, great power, manifested his mighty power in and through them. As he did here with Peter. Because Peter had faith and was faithful to obey the command of the Lord to come, he just stepped out of that ship and onto the water and walked on the water. Would I have enough faith to step out of that ship and begin walking to Jesus? Would you have enough faith to do that? Well, the third thing we want to note this morning is learn the result of unbelief, as is displayed for us here in our text. Peter walked on the water for a ways, for a while. We're not told how long. But after a while, unbelief. This is where you and I can really relate to it, can't we? We have faith. And we walk along in faith for a while. But then unbelief sets in. We fail to trust. We fail to trust the Lord with all our heart.
And we begin to lean unto our own reasoning, to our own understanding. That's what Peter did. After a while, unbelief set in. He was good for a while. But then he saw the strong wind and the boisterous waves and began to sink. Notice he saw the strong wind and the boisterous waves. Where were they before? They were there before he stepped out of the ship. They'd been tossed most of the night. They'd been tossed to and fro in the water most of the night. Jesus waited until the fourth watch, the middle of the night, to come walking to him on the water. The flesh was weak in unbelief. His situation looked impossible. And he was afraid. He was afraid. Is it hitting home? Is it hitting home? He forgot about the goodness of the Almighty Creator. Never mind that he had stepped out of the ship onto the water. Never mind that he had taken one, two, three, four steps. We're not told how far he walked, how many steps he took, but he walked on the water. Never mind that he had done that and everything was fine till he took his eyes off Jesus. And as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he saw the predicament. And he began to sink. And he cried, "Lord, save me!" Are you thinking about your own experiences? Do we not do? Have we not done the same thing? We're strong in faith for a time, for a while, for a season. But then our problems and our trials and our enemies, they just come flooding in like a great storm. And they're so big and they're so insurmountable. We don't see any way out of it. Why? Why? Because we do not believe. Because we do not trust Him. We look at our problems and not at the Lord. We ought to be looking at the Lord, but we don't. And we cry out, "Lord, save me!" Our enemies are not greater than our Lord. There's no difficulty. There's no problem that is too big that He cannot take care of, that He cannot solve. Let us keep our thoughts. Let us keep our ears. Let us keep our eyes upon Jesus. That's all Peter needed to do. All he needed to do was keep his eyes on Jesus. He trusted Jesus. Jesus had enabled him to step down out of that ship and step onto the water and not sink, and to walk across the water in the midst of the wind and the waves.
And he can do the same for us. He does do the same for us.
So let us keep our thoughts, our ears, and our eyes upon Him. And let us learn fourthly from this example that Jesus is merciful. Brother Ron likes that. I like it. I like the fact that Jesus is merciful. I like His mercy. As soon as Peter cried out, what did Jesus do? He reached forth His hand and He caught hold of him. I imagine He caught hold of him. I imagine He wrapped His arms around Peter. He did not leave him to perish. He did not leave him to perish because of his moment. Notice this. Get this. He did not leave him to perish because of his moment of unbelief. Doesn't mean we don't suffer consequences of our unbelief. But He did not leave him to perish. What would have happened if the Lord had not been merciful? Here, something of violent revelation. And then tossed and maybe ripped apart in the strong waves, the boisterous waves, and the waves beating against rocks and what happened. But the Lord was merciful. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. Note and read some blessed Psalms with me. Psalm chapter 34, verse 19. We read, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Amen. "But the Lord delivers them out of them all." What's our memory verse say? "Deliver them out of all their troubles." All our troubles. Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 24. Verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." That is, the steps of a righteous man, one that He's made good, one that He's made righteous, are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. The Lord delights in His way. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand." The Lord, though you fall, the Lord is there to hold you up. Have you experienced it? Look at chapter 145. Chapter 145. In verse 14. "The Lord upholdeth all that fall." All that fall. And he's talking about His children. "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." He upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all that be bowed down. Aren't those verses cause for rejoicing? Isn't the example that we have here in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, cause for rejoicing? The Word gives faith. And in our times of unbelief and moments of unbelief, He's there to hold on to us. Keep us from falling. Keep us from perishing. Praise God. He is. Jesus caught Peter and simply said, I imagine while he was in his arms, he probably said, O thou of little faith. O thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? You hear Jesus saying that to you? O ye of little faith. Wherefore did you doubt? Did we doubt Jesus? Yeah, when we don't trust Him. When we don't trust Him, we doubt Him. Why? For what reason did you doubt? Why did you not trust Him? Why did you not believe? It's not because Jesus is not able. He's able. It's because of our lack of faith. Because of our lack of confidence in Him. In closing, consider His exceeding gentleness. Consider the exceeding gentleness of Jesus Christ. He cares for His. He loves them. He gave His life for them. Is He not going to keep you from falling? Psalms 94 and verse 18 says, when I said, my foot slippeth. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Our foot slips often. Oh, but His mercy holdeth me up. He wants us to trust Him. Not just now. Not just now when things are going good, when things are going great, but He wants us to trust Him in every situation. That means in the storms. Trust Him. Be faithful to the faith which He's given you. Exhibit the faith which He's given to you. The example that we have here in Matthew chapter 14, our text today, and many other examples in the Word of God, He left us these examples concerning Peter and the other apostles. The other apostles feared too. They thought they'd seen a spirit. They all thought they'd seen a spirit. A ghost. Why, it has to be a ghost. No man can walk on the water. He left us these examples so that we would learn, so that we would read, and so that we would trust, so that we would believe. But if our foot begins to slip, we begin to fall, He'll raise us again. He'll catch us. He'll keep us from falling. It's a beautiful example here. He was right there. He was right there to save Peter. He was right there to keep him from falling, to keep him from plunging into the depths of that sea. If we err, He will bring us back. His mercy is ever with us. What is it that we read in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and verses 22 and 23? It is of the Lord's mercies
that we are not consumed.
Because His compassions fail not. Praise God. But praise God for verse 23.
They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Listen, because He's faithful, they're new every morning. They're there every day. Every day that we rise up off the bed, His mercies are there.
Why? Because I'm going to do it. And He knows we're going to do it. He knows. And what did Psalms 94:18 say? When my foot slippeth, Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. His mercy holds us up. After they had gone up into the ship, emphasize that point. It wasn't until after that the Lord and Peter had gone into the ship, the winds and the waves ceased. As we said, sometimes He calms the storm so that we can go through no storm. And sometimes He enables us to go through the storm because He calms us. That's faith. That's faith. That's trusting Him. And they that were in the ship came and worshiped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Do you worship Him this morning, knowing in full confidence that He is the Son of God? Think about that. He is the Son of God. And we worship Him. So believe. Trust Him. Do you believe? Do you trust Him? Shall we stand and have a song in closing, Brother Ron?